Welcome to the Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Our topic for today is role of problem-solving skills in 21st century education. The World Economic Forum states that problem-solving and critical thinking will be amongst the top skills required by 2025. A report by McKinsey & Company defines the cognitive skill of structured problem-solving as one of the key skills needed in the future world of work. The OECD lists critical thinking and problem solving as part of the 16 key skills required for 21st century. Today, with our esteemed speaker, we will discuss what these skills are and why they are crucial. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is Mr. Arindam Roy Chaudhary, an experienced educator currently serving as the principal of GD Goenka Public School, Jammu. He is a passionate educator with expertise in mathematics. Mr. Roy has previously been the founder principal of Kalpavriksha Model School in Karnataka for 14 years, where he played a key role in developing the school from the ground up. He has also played various roles with CBSE, including the mentor for schools under the CBSE mentoring program. He has been the visiting faculty at IIM Ahmedabad for the Leadership Diploma program. We are honored to have Mr. Roy join us today. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here in your platform. Thank you so much.
The pleasure is ours as well, sir. Thank you. There's a quote by Anthony Robbins. It says, "Every problem is a gift. Without problems, we would not grow. But to solve problems, we need problem-solving skills." So to begin today's discussion, sir, how would you define problem-solving skills for the students? And how can these skills help in their learning and enhancement of their academic achievement in school?
According to me, I feel problem-solving skills is a mother of all skills. And it requires every bit of skill to be a part or a member of the problem-solving skill. I look at it this way. So if you want to put it in a definition, according to me, you have a problem. You have defined a problem, well-defined problem, and or you have a problem which has been well-defined by you, and then you do a brainstorm and come to an analysis, analytical answer, and then finally think of n number of solutions and put in the best solution that can be implemented to solve the problem. That's the process of a problem solving, and the skills required for that, according to me, is the problem-solving skill. So a learner or a student with a good problem-solving skill, they will be both a self-starter, because they will be able to know that how to take up things forward, because they have then trained themselves accordingly. They have those skill sets associated, and also a collaborative teammate, because I feel that a problem solver will always play an important and a pivotal role when it comes to a collaborative activity. A problem solver generally is a very proactive person, because he or she is always, thinking about it, has that understanding of that particular root, can go into the root cause of the problem, and can easily associate others or bring others to consider a wide range of solutions before actually deciding what they want to, how they want to go ahead with, or what sort of, what step they should take it forward. So I feel that's what problem solving is all about. So problem solving, the mother of all skills. Yes.
Yeah, that is very wonderfully put. And sir, you mentioned one point that, a problem solver always tries to find multiple solutions to a problem. I think that is a very important skill, especially in today's time, when things are really, really changing very fast, technology is changing rapidly. So do you think that these problem solving skills actually help students? You have shared that they help in the academic success, but would these help in the long-term career success, especially in these rapidly changing times?
When you're talking about the careers, aspect, you see there are certain job description which is a continuous process. Like you keep on doing this, you do A, then B, then C. Suppose a clerical job. Okay, a clerical job, a file comes here, you will put it in a database and then you pass it to your boss gives you some feedback, again you back to the database, again the file comes, next file comes. So it's a process which is well defined and it's a continuous process which you keep on. Here, if you look at it, there is not much of challenge that is required. But those both jobs are all in a mediocre level job. But if you want a non-defined job, where there is no process, where there will be association of multi-skill association, there problem solving plays a very, very important role. So in tomorrow's day, we do not know. Just imagine, ma'am, another 10 years down the line, what are the career options that we are going to have? Or maybe 5 years down the line, who knows? What will be the career options? We ourselves do not know in today's day. A child who is in standard 8 or 9 or 10, what sort of career option he will be having another 5 or 8 years down the line, we do not know it today. But then how are we going to prepare them? How are we preparing them? You see, I always look at it. A school, the objective of the school is to prepare a child for life. Right? Now, in my school, like in any other school, you have a pre-primary to 12th standard. That means 3 years old to 18 years old.
Right.
Right? I'm 3 years old to 18 years old. In this 15 years period of time that the student is, or 10 plus 3, 13 years period of time, I'm so sorry, 13 years period of time that the child is spending. You 13 plus, okay, pre-primary, if you say 15 years only, okay, 15 years period, you are preparing them for, suppose a child retires in 60 years. So from 18 years to 60 years, you're preparing the child for that particular, that means 42 years, you're preparing him for that particular period of time. So what are the challenges that he's going to face? What sort of job requirement that you're going to have? So one thing is very common that will be there is the problem solving skills. If the student develops that sort of and hones those skills in the school level, I can guarantee you, irrespective of the fact what sort of career he or she chooses, which we might have not thought about it in today's day, that skill will always help him, not only in his career but in his life also. As I was telling you the other day, the problems in life do not come with a syllabus. Right, it doesn't right. come with right. the so it is right. it's always that. So how do we prepare our student with an open-ended challenge? So problems, that's why I say problem solving skills are the mother of all skills.
Right Yes, that is a very, very important thought, that problems in life don't come with a syllabi. And also the careers that these kids would have are totally unpredictable. They are not known to the educators of today. So basically, these children need to have skills to be able to take up any challenge that they may face. So, sir, would you like to share any references or examples of people you may have met who assign the reason for their success to their strong problem-solving skills?
Let me just talk about someone whom I have always thought about. Him as my mentor of life, and I've always followed him as my his life as a part of mine, as an inspiration. That is Mahatma Gandhi. If you look at it, Mahatma Gandhi, I think, is the epitome of, if you talk from the problem solving association, he was the epitome of it. He had challenges, multifaceted challenges, but he had nailed down a kingdom, or the British, who were ruling for 200 years. So a system which was 200 years into a particular country, he could stop that system and push them out of the country. Don't you think he's the best problem solver in the world? Right. Or a person can ever be. And that too what? That too without any violence, that too without any fighting. I remember in one of the cases when he was brought to the court of law, and he was asked to pay a fine or be imprisoned. And what he thought was absolutely, because he was looking at the farmers not paying the extra tax that the British were asking for, and he was fighting for that. He said, "I would prefer going to the jail rather than being in the paying you the fine."
Right.
You know, finally the judge had that so much of respect for him that the judge stood up. The judge himself stood up when Mahatma Gandhi entered. I'm sure we must have seen it in the film also. So what I'm saying is, so not a better person I can think in terms of problem solving as Mahatma Gandhi's. And the more we read about his life, the more we understand what a beautiful a brilliant person he was as far as the skill sets were all concerned. So I will always consider Mahatma Gandhi as number one as far as problem solving association is concerned.
Wonderful, wonderful, sir. And this example also shows that problem solving skills are applicable not just in academics and career, but also, all throughout one's life. And you also previously mentioned about the collaborative approach that a problem solver uses. So would you like to discuss more on this aspect? We have covered the academic part and going to the other end of the spectrum. How does problem solving skills enhance social and emotional skills of students, like resilience, self-efficacy, communication, collaboration, teamwork? So does these skills also benefit by having some problem solving ability?
As I was telling you, I'll stick to the same point that problem solving is the skill is the mother of all skills. I think all these skills that you're talking about, collaborative, you talked about being in the community, how well you can communicate. It's how well you can communicate is not only how well you can speak, but how well you can communicate through your action also.
Right.
Right. And a person with that sort of a bent of mind will always be open-minded. That is for sure. Otherwise, he cannot, because when a person is looking for solutions, until and unless the person is not open-minded, he cannot be like a horse.
Right.
When he needs to open up. So that is why he has to be open about taking advices, taking solution from the other. So that means the collaborative aspect is also there. Coming to the community, he can be an asset to the community, because as a community, we keep facing challenges, on and off. So such people can be really, really, valued for that. In fact, problem solving abilities can be one of the most important nuances of flourishment of community. If a community needs to flourish, I think problem solving ability should be part of it. And every leader has to be a problem solver. Those abilities has to be there. And not only leader, I don't have to be a leader of my of people. I can be a leader of my own person, my own self.
Right.
How well I am controlled. Do I have the control of myself? Tomorrow, if life throws in challenge to me, will I be able to handle that? Will I be able to find out a solution? Will I be able to come out of that? Is what it is. So until unless I am my own leader, so the leadership skill that I have to control myself, until unless I don't have that, I will not be able to manage in life.
Right.
Right? So that is why it's so important that this one aspect that we're talking about today is these skills that are required for me to control myself will also help me as far as managing my life with or without problems, right? So that is why it's so important that in community, when you're talking, a problem solver or a person with that sort of nuances will always be open mind, whether it is the collaborative skill we are talking about or whether it is to being in the community. And yes, you are saying self-efficacy, of course. Until and unless I am that self-efficacy, I cannot define it in myself or in my character, I will never be a problem solver. Because I think one of the most important thing is self-efficacy. So that's what. And with this, because when you're talking about problem solving, it is also a process that I create within myself.
Right.
The process that I'm trying to bring it in myself. Like that means if I have a challenge, the challenge can be anything. Like, for example, I'm a maths teacher. Let me give you an example, right? We talk about algebra. Hmm. When we're saying algebra, now what is the objective of studying algebra? That is, you can find something that you don't know from something that you know. If I say x plus 2 is equal to 12, I do not know what this value of x is. So that means this algebra is going to help me that through that skill, I will be able to find what I do not know. I think problem solving is also about that. So there is a process of me thinking. So if I train myself, if I prepare myself and I know how, what is it that the way I look at it or my perception toward that particular thing, that is going to help me irrespective of the fact that which type of problems I face. Right. So that is why if that happens, then that self-efficacy also comes in.
Right.
Right. So I feel, yes, again, I stick to the same thing. This problem solving can actually make a man out of me, which not only helps me as a person, but also helps the community at large. Right. That is what is my take. Right.
Yes, that's a very good point about, you know, why one should develop problem solving skills, because it helps the individual and also the community as a large. Okay, so we have had some good discussion on problem solving skills for an individual and the benefits it brings to the community at large. Now, sir, can we have some quick fire rounds? Can we have a rapid fire round?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
So, what is your favorite thing about teaching?
If you look at the most favorite, you know, favorite aspect of teaching, I feel is the reflective practices, which I personally, you know, feel that reflection is a very important component of learning.
Mm-hmm.
When I am learning, if I look at my learning continuum only, also, if I do not know how much I should have known, how much I know and how much I don't know. Like this aspect, until and unless I do not know as a learner, I will never be an effective learner or a lifelong learner. So, which I have a feeling that in our Indian, you know, learning practices, we do not have much of reflective practices. It's more like a telling sort of thing where the teacher tells and I listen. Okay. And I try to replicate what my teacher has told. The process is like more similar like that. But I feel that it's so important as a learner, I should reflect in my learning. Hmm. One is my learning journey. Like for example, suppose if you need to go from place A to place B, and this place B is absolutely new to you, what are you going to do today? Earlier, you would have go asked one Pan fellow that kaha hai ye rasta, and he would have shown you some other, like you would have done. But today you have this Google map. You will give the Google map, you know, feed in the data, and then automatically Google map will be showing you the path. It's the same way. It's like the Google map is nothing but the reflective practice that we need to. So we should know where we have come. We should know. So there are two aspects. One is the quantum of it. Okay, the quantum of it in the sense that how much of it I know and how much of it I do not know. It's very important how much of it I don't know. In today's day and time, why the students are facing like the difficulty in performing is just because they do not realize how much I don't know. If you make a student sit and make him write, okay, this was the chapter. Okay, you give him a chapter. Okay, we have studied about maybe photosynthesis. Okay, plants preparing their own food. How much of it that you don't know and how much of it that you don't know? But the student will be saying, how can I tell you how I don't know? That's where the problem is.
Right.
That's where, so realization, you must be knowing about this, right? I know that I know. I know that I don't know. I don't know that I know, and I don't know that I don't know.
And that is the beginning, you know, of the learning journey.
Absolutely.
What
absolutely.
You start from the place that you don't know. And then
so what I am talking about, the reflective practices where I know that I don't know. This part is very important for us. This is the quantum. Second is the qualitative aspect. The qualitative aspect is I know. Fine. But how much of it is I know? Can I apply it in a different situation? Can I analyze with this information that I know? Can I analyze certain things? Can I compare and contrast two things? Can I create something absolutely new from the information that I have got?
Right.
So that is the qualitative aspect. So I feel this reflective practice is very, very important in teaching. So that is my take.
Right. Yeah. So next question, what is your favorite book or movie that you would like to recommend to your students?
Oh, my favorite book all the time is Flow. There's a book called Flow, F-L-O-W. It's written by Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi, if I pronounced him rightly. It talks about Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi basically is an American who had maybe not an American origin, but who had written this book. The book talks about happiness. It says how beautiful it says. You see, it says that there is a situation that happens in your life. Correct. Now it depends on you whether you want to be happy or you don't want to be happy. The choice is yours. So if you want to be happy, you just have to tweak certain things and you can be happy with that situation also. So that's what that book talks about. And it gives an empty number of, you know, examples through that book we can actually practice in our life. So I have learned a lot about from this book. And I think I have I've read it 2-3 times. Yeah, you can say that I don't understand it once. So I read it twice or thrice. That can be a possibility. But also, what is important is, you know, developing a perception.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I can. If you give me time, I want to share an anecdote here.
Definitely.
You know, there's a story. It's a Zen story. So there was a village, and in that village there was an old lady. And this old lady used to always cry. She had 2 daughters and both the daughters got married. So she always used to cry. So she was famously, popularly known as the crying old lady in that village. Now, why she used to cry? Suppose, now the day can be either sunny or it can be rainy, cloudy. Okay, right. Both the rain. When the sun, then the, so she had 2 daughters. The first daughter's husband was an umbrella manufacturer. And the second daughter's husband used to manufacture noodles. In Japan, you must be knowing noodles. They have noodles, yes. Maggi noodles, yes. Not Maggi, of course, noodles. So he used to manufacture noodles. So whenever it used to be sunny, she used to start crying, thinking about her elder daughter. Oh no, what will my elder daughter do? Nobody is going to buy their umbrella. And she used to cry. And whenever it used to be rainy, she used to think about a younger daughter and think, oh no, it's raining. How will the noodles dry? If the noodles don't dry, how is she going to sell? So one day there was a Zen master came moving around. He came to that village and came to know about this lady. So he went to the house. As usual, he went to the house and he saw this lady crying. So when he saw this lady crying, he asked, why is it crying? It's such a bright summer, sunny day. So she said, yeah, it is bright sunny day. That is why I'm crying. What will happen to my elder daughter? Nobody is going to buy umbrella. So he said, okay, what about your younger daughter? She said, then you could see that spark in her eyes. And she said, yes, my younger daughter will be very happy because it is sunny. It's going to, you know, she'll be able to dry more of the noodles and the sale will be more. So the man said, the Zen master said, whenever it is sunny, think about your younger daughter. And whenever it is raining, think about your elder daughter. So it is all about the change in perception.
Right.
You know? So that's what, when we're talking about problem solving skills, change of perception plays a very, very important role. And that is what this flow, the book I'm talking about, talks about it. If you change your perception, you can always be happy.
Right. And if we change our perception, problems are an opportunity for growth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. Very true.
Thanks for sharing this story, sir. Our next question is, what is your favorite activity outside of your teaching assignments?
Oh, yes, I am, I am a music lover and music is very close to my heart. And that's what I live with. And sometimes, yeah, I just can't stay myself, can't stay away from education or from learning. So I try to connect maths with music and see that, keep on experimenting and seeing that how well it can be connected. So that's one thing. And yes, of course, I love playing games table tennis is one of the games that I've played till the nationals. So I love doing that and keeping myself fit. So these are the two things
Wonderful. And I'm sure your students must be enjoying this combination of maths and music.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. I have put in that, that craziness in some of my students as well as my music teachers. Yeah, some of them are perturbed that what a crazy fellow he is. So but that's how it is. Yes.
Okay. And if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you like to go and why?
Huh. I would prefer to like till I am there in this earth, I would like to visit every place of my country, my own country. I think nothing can be more beautiful than our own country, I feel. Because if you look at it, the diversity, the beauty is in its diversity. Every 200 kilometers, the language change, the dress change, the food change, which is very close to my heart again. So so you get to eat different cuisine as you move ahead. Not only that, if you look at the geographical contour, there is so much of difference. Like you have desert, you have a hot desert, you also have a cold desert. You have minus 40 degree and you have got plus 60 degree also, plus 50, 60 degree, right? Then you've got mountains, you've got valleys, you have got beaches, white sand beaches, if you look at it. Then you talk about island, you not have got island, normal island, you've got riverine islands also. Majuli, the one which is in Assam. So I would like to see all of them, and nothing can be more learning and more fascinating than that, I feel. Yeah, that's what is my take.
Travel is one of a good teacher.
Absolutely, travel is the best teacher, and if you have your problem-solving abilities in your fingertips, you can be a good traveler.
Yeah, because the problems would definitely come when you travel. You
Absolutely,
need to be
absolutely.
a problem solver to be able to overcome them and learn from them.
Yes, absolutely true.
Right. Next question, sir. What is your favorite quote or mantra that you live by?
There are many, but there is one which I always keep it on my desktop, which says that diamond is another carbon which did well under pressure. Okay, diamond is another carbon, just like coal. Diamond is also carbon, but it really did well under pressure, because when you create diamond, then you have to create enormous pressure. Then only it converts. Then you have to do the polishing and all of that. It undergoes all that rigmarole, and then it becomes the precious stone. So becoming precious is not an easy, like it's not until unless you don't move out of your comfort zone, you can never be a diamond. So I always feel that. And again, the answer is how well you are a problem solver. You have your problem-solving abilities
Yeah,
in you. Then
so
only
we
you'll
are
be able
coming
to
back
face
to the
that.
problem-solving skills.
Absolutely.
Everything is related to these skills.
Connected
Okay.
to that, yes.
Sir, last question in the rapid fire round. What is one piece of advice you would give to a new teacher who is starting out in this teaching profession?
One piece of advice. It's very difficult to identify one piece. So if you allow me, I can get two, three pieces together, join them and put it across. Okay. I personally feel that most importantly, a teacher should be a learner herself or himself. It's very, very important. And the second thing is, how do you adapt to change? Because in a teacher's life, it is the change that the teacher has to manage. Every year you will have different kids. You will not have same set of kids. Suppose 30 students you are teaching in a class, those 30 will be different in every year. So that means your plan that you're talking about, your lesson plan, or I always call a lesson plan as a learning plan. How do you plan that particular thing for those set of students? So when you look at it, when I say a teacher's experience is not one. Suppose if I say I'm 10 year experience, it is not one into 10 years. That means the first year I had made a lesson plan, and for the same 10 years I've used the same lesson plan. It doesn't work. So every year it came and changes. So change is another thing that we should learn with this. And as I was sharing with you the other day, change always comes with a conflict. So we should know how to do a conflict resolution also. And the third most important thing is to love your learner. It's very important. Love your students. And if you do not love your, when I say love your students, how well you are connected to them. Okay. I have a very cliched saying. In fact, people who know me, they'll just get bored if they listen to me again. That is, it should not be operation successful, but patient dead. That should never happen. That means you have told me to complete the syllabus. I've covered the syllabus. I don't know about the students. That should never happen. So when I'm saying love for student, that means how well you're connected. Books and concepts, and they will all go topsy-turvy if you do not have a connect with your students. That is most important aspect. So out of out of multiple, if you want me to select only one, this one is how well you love your students and how well you are connected. If you can be that, you know, your job is done. You look at it like, you know, Dr. Abdul Kalam, he talks about in almost every lectures, I have heard him number of time live also. He has talked about his teacher, Mr. Subramaniam. When he was in 9th standard student, he had taken him to the shows of Rameshwaram and taught him how the trajectory movement, you know, they were teaching them, I think 11th standard, if I'm not mistaken. So he showed him through the, seagull. When the seagulls were flying, he showed them how the trajectory movement happens. So you're talking about way back in 1950s or 40s when he was a student at that point of time. So he remembered his teacher till the last, you know. So you see the teacher's influence. And when can that happen? When there is a connect. Isn't it? Because if I ask you, ma'am, if I ask you to name 5 people who have influenced you in your life, one of them will be your teacher.
Definitely.
And most importantly, maybe your primary or middle school teacher. And you must have been taught by 20s or 30s of teachers, right, from your pre-primary to your university or ahead, right? But you will remember that one person who has actually, you know, brought in. And that person might have not been knowing about the fact that he or she has influenced your life, right? Maybe a small little trigger that is very, very important. And that spark is very important for us. And to ignite that spark, this connect is important. And for that connect, the epitome is the love. So I feel love your students is most important for a teacher.
That's a very empowering advice, sir. Thank you for sharing this. And we now are done with our rapid fire round. So moving on to the next question. We have discussed the importance of problem solving skills. We have discussed a lot of examples and anecdotes where these skills are important. But still, there is a lot of opposition in focusing on developing these skills in the students. You know, there are some schools of thought that numeracy skills are important, literacy skills are important, and there is so less time to complete the curriculum that, you know, we should not waste time in teaching these problem solving skills. Another school of thought is that these skills are very difficult to assess. So, you know, how can we measure the effectiveness of these skills? So given all these, oppositions, a lot of times these skills are not given adequate focus in schools. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this? And, you know, how can we overcome, should we overcome such oppositions and how we can do that?
I think it's a very valued question that you've asked in this entire episode. I think this will be the icing in the cake. Why I say this? Because I feel this is a misnomer that we have in our society, you know, or in our education division, or people who are into this. This is a misunderstanding that we have, especially the stakeholders who are there associated. Let me just tell you, there are 2-3 things which we which I put them into the category of misnomer. The first is we feel that problem solving is only with mathematics and science, which actually is not, right? That also includes these skills that we are talking about, whether it is critical thinking, creative thinking, you know, the problem solving skills, or in that case, you know, the other aspects also we are talking about, the thinking skills we talk about, which is, you know, the knowing, the understanding, the applying, you know, the analyzing aspect, comparing and contrast, you know, that evaluation aspect. How do we evaluate or how do we create something new? All these skills that we talk about, it is there associated with every subject. But how do you connect them is very important. How do you think about it is very important. Like, for example, if I say history. Now, when I'm teaching history as a history teacher, it's a story. It's a story that I'm trying to do. But where do I connect them to make, when do I connect the stories to make them think about it? Like, let me give you an example. Like, for example, if I say Mughal Empire. In Mughal Empire, we start with Babur. You know, of course, before that, Genghis Khan and all that was there. But actually, Babur is the main person who actually began with that. Then Humayun and Akbar. Babur and Akbar, they were very popular Mughal emperors. Akbar's time, that was the highest peak that Mughal Empire has actually gone in, the flourishing, the most flourishing period of time, you can say, like according to me. So can we compare, like suppose if you were Akbar at that point of time, what would you do? How would you decide on it? Or think about Humayun. Humayun, who was thrown out of his throne and he had to move around in the, you know, in jungles. If you would have been Humayun, how did you manage, how you would have managed to take your empire further? What I'm saying is, this sort of thinking will actually help them to critically analyze the situation at that point of time, connecting that point, that time with today's time, you know, and keeping the same understanding with my own perception. And then finally creating something new and say that, okay, if I would have been Akbar, this is what I would have done. I hope I'm making sense, yes, what I'm trying to tell you, right? Yes. Similarly, now, if I say, we study about the contour of our country, like, you know, we have these chapters in 9th standard, if I'm not mistaken, geography, call it as the drainage system of our country, like the rivers. Now, these rivers have a tendency to move. So we know that water moves from upper level to the lower level, right? So if that is the case, then that means Ganga is starting from the Himalayas, and it goes down all the way to the north and comes down to east and flows in the, gets into Bangladesh and flows out in the Bay of Bengal, right? Along with the, when we are looking at the Ganga, we have the tributaries which are contributing in Ganga, right, or getting into it. So it is the Yamuna, Gomti, Ghagra, Gandak, Kosi, they are all from the Himalayan belt. For coming, but the ones which are below also, they are like from the central India also going, okay, like Son, Chambal, Betwa, they are also going from central India. So that means the contour of our, that particular land is tilted to that extent where it actually moves to Ganga. Now, can't we tell the students that what would have happened if our Indian contour would have had a tilt towards south? That means instead of Ganga going towards east, it would have gone down. Beach may, you can say Aravali is coming, but suppose there is a U-turn from Aravali, a detour from Aravali.
Yeah.
It would have come to, you know, meet in somewhere in Chennai. What would have happened? What would have happened to our agricultural system? The entire scene would have changed. And with facts and figures, can't the students think that today, this would have happened today? Like we have this, we see in our country, we have rain-fed rivers and the snow-fed rivers, right? The rain-fed rivers, they are dependent on rains. So they are not, they dry up during the summer. So if Ganga is passing from there, what would have happened to those rivers? Mahanadi, Godavari, Krishna, Kaveri, just imagine if they would have been connected to Ganga, then what would have happened? Let the students think about it.
Yeah.
Are we not doing thinking skills with that?
Yes.
Right. Informing facts and figures is correct, but beyond that is also very important. I have this understanding. Like, look at this. Questions. When we talk about inquiry, right? Questions. So we have these question words. What are these question words? What, when, where, how, why? Okay. What, when, where, why? Am I missing anything? Where, why, and how?
And how? Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now you look at this. What, when, and where are just information providers. What happened? Suppose you tell me that, you know, there was a big chaos in that place. So I'll ask you what happened. So what will you just recall? What had happened?
Those are facts.
Okay. Facts. Facts and figures you inform. When, where, all these are facts. But why and how is very important.
Yes.
Where you are analyzing associated. Right. So what I'm trying to say is, why can't we attach these two in our own subjects, irrespective of the fact that whichever subject we are. You know, if you talk about grammar, if you talk about literature, we can also do that. Like suppose if you are doing a poem, right, writes about, you know, William Wordsworth. I he's one of my favorite poets, like Solitary Reaper. Talks about a lady who is at the highland grassland, she is cutting and she is singing a tune and she is cutting the grass, right? And the poet passes by and he is just trying to guess that what sort of tune is it. It's a melancholy tune, like she might be sad, so he's guessing. Correct. Now just imagine if you would have been a poet and you just imagine you were crossing by that lady. What was your thought? And why would you think in that ways? So what I'm trying to say is somewhere you are trying to bring in the critical thinking association also, and they are creating it, you know. Yeah. So it's not that it is only the forte for maths teachers and science teachers.
Right.
So it should be connected to all the subjects, provided we associate it. And that is what NEP 2020 is also talking about.
Yes.
Right. And another thing, today we are talking about these skills and we are making it, we are bringing it in prominence. And we say that it not earlier we did not study, it was not there, all of it was not there. Do you really think it was not there? Of course it was there. Yeah. I will go back to the example which Dr. Kalam was talking about.
Yes.
Mr. Subramaniam took them to the to the shows of Rameshwaram. Why? No, he wanted to that sense of inquiry to develop in their kids. So what he has taught them in that blackboard, he wanted them to see it actually happening,
right.
You know, live happening life. So that was in 1950s and all that. Didn't that happen at that point of time? Yes, we did not compartmentalize them into this, into say skill association and all that. Right? As students also, if you see, our teachers have also promoted that, but they might have not used those words.
Right.
But they definitely had those questions to ask us. They definitely saw that the sense of inquiry develops in kids. Right? So that is, of course, is there. So that is my take in, this factor. And I personally feel that is absolute a misconception. Problem solving was always there. And right from time eternity, if you see, look at it, the Vedic studies period also problem solving was there in a very, very good way. You know, they had this more of an experiential learning.
Right.
Of course, when the British came in and they tried to standardize studies, standardize education for their own benefit, that's a separate story altogether. But in classroom, definitely we tried to bring in. Okay. And today we are trying to bring that as a format into our education system where we can make them realize. Like, for example, if I say as a maths teacher, if I say the most common, one of the most common is, the skills that we actually do is the manipulative skills, right? We use them in entirely right from standard 3 to standard 12 or whatever. We use these manipulative skills more in the middle section. So were we not learning that earlier? We were. Right now, suppose if I want to, I'm talking about if I say about algebra where we are trying to find out x, are we not manipulating and trying to find out the values? We did that at that point of time, we are doing it now, but we are calling it as a manipulative skill, right? So, what I'm trying to tell you is that all of that was earlier there also, but yes, because of the factors to make it, it's very important for me to know that I know. You know, and making me realize that yes, you know, is what confidence building is all about.
Right.
And if you look at it today's, of course, in today's day and time, we have moved, NEP has put it in a big way. CBSE is doing it, skill-based programs. Now, Ministry of Education has brought in in the innovation cell, they are doing this design thinking program in all school level, like 6th standard to 12th standard, they are doing this design thinking program. Design thinking is the best tool that we can use as far as problem solving is concerned.
Right.
Right. And now we are applying it in our classroom. Why can't we take that particular section of that particular design, process of design thinking that we want to learn in our classroom and apply it in our own subject? Isn't it? Then only what will happen? Applications will happen. Then only we will be able to understand that, okay, I have studied this. How do I apply it in a different situation?
Yeah.
If I learn to do that, then only I will be able to apply it in my own life. As you have also said, and I've been telling it, that we don't have a syllabi for the problems that we have in life, right?
Yeah.
But we can prepare ourselves for that.
Right.
So that's what. So I have a feeling that it's a misnomer that, it's going to be a waste of time, or it's part of life. And if we are saying that we are preparing students for life, then problem solving abilities should be developed in kids.
Right.
That's
So
my
the
take.
examples you shared are very wonderful thought exercises to be done with students to help them expand their thinking. So rather than just focusing on gaining the facts, the whys and the what and where, we should also focus on why and how, so that the thinking skills are enhanced. And another takeaway that I have from what you shared is that there should not be any impediments to developing these skills. We should not look at these skills as individual skills in buckets, but rather build it into the subjects. Each of the subjects that we are
Absolutely.
teaching can be integrated with these skills. So that will lead to more holistic learning, and we don't really have to spend additional time and effort in developing these skills. It can be
Absolutely.
done in an integrated way. Right. So thanks for sharing
Thank you.
your valuable insights on that, sir. Next question is, we have discussed problem-solving skills in the schools being imparted by the teachers. But given the importance of these skills, do you think that the parents can also play a role in helping their child develop these skills as a continuation to what the child has been learning in schools?
Yes, see again, I'll go back to the same point which I started with, is that the objective of a school is to prepare a child for life. So, and parents are equal partner to that,
Right.
right? So it's very important that we create a learning culture in school as well as at home. So if we can create a similar sort of learning culture within the school and at home, then what happens is that the student will be able to connect much better. What I mean to say is, if the parents are also doing in terms of skills, if the parents are also doing the same as what has been done in school, then the child will be able to have a similar sort of thing. So there's no civil war within them. At home and something else is happening. I'll, like for example, if a child says that मुझे आज नया ड्रेस चाहिए, and they say parents said नहीं मिलेगा.
Happens
Okay,
quite
now
often.
quite often. So then what happens? The child will start throwing tantrum. Correct, throwing tantrum, will not have dinner. Then the next day, mother will go and buy it and give it to the child.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, why can't we have a very similar sort of an learning experience that is there, right, in school as in child? I'll tell you the same example. The same example. Let me just share. Before that, let me tell you, in our school, what we are doing. It's a good practice. That's why I'm sharing. It's not I'm trying to promote. It's just a good practice that I'm sharing with you. We have this mom, dad, and me program in the lower
Okay.
classes, so pre-primary and standard 1 and 2. What we do is we share whatever we are doing in the school. We for the next 15 days, we share the same thing, and we also suppose there's some activity, hands-on activity, something we are doing. We train the mothers also, mothers as well as fathers, if their fathers are interested, they also come. So it's a full-fledged workshop for them, a Saturday workshop. Okay, second Saturday we call them, it's a holiday for them. So they come, it's a 2-3 hours program where they also learn how to do it, and this is what we are going to do in the next 15 days. So the parents know very clearly for the next 15 days, these are the skills that the school is going to work, and parallelly those skills can be practiced at home. Correct. So
Right.
I am taking one of the clues from that program, and I'm just giving you an example based on this. Now, as I was telling you, the child throws tantrum ki mujhe ye chahiye, wo chahiye, irrespective of the fact that whether the parents have, sometimes they might have some financial crunch, but still they see to it that particular thing, whatever the child is demanding, comes. Right? Let's throw the ball on their court. Okay, theek hai, chalo, next month I will give you the entire money that mother is getting to manage the house, and you have to create the budget for everything, to pay your driver, to pay the telephone bill, to pay your internet bill, to pay for milk, to for you know for vegetables that comes in. For everything you have to plan, and then you have to see that how it works. We have actually tried, and the result that has come is really fantastic. They have started realizing when they started working on this, ki acha doodh wale ko itna diya hai, ye likh, they write. So they maintain a complete diary about it, from it. Ki this fellow has gone, oh my god, I have only 1,000 rupees left, what should I do? And the parents have said that, okay, in this manner only you have to manage. You cannot ask for anything extra. You need help, we can help you. But you can't ask for anything extra more than that. And then sometimes they are happy that they have saved. Maybe at the end of the month, they might have saved some 2,000-3,000 rupees. They are happy that, arey, itna to bach gaya hamara. What I'm saying is, they are actually implementing all the skills that they have picked up. And these are all imbibed in us. I personally feel that all of that is imbibed in us. It is only sleeping. We have to make them awake. You know, these skills, we just have to activate them.
Yes, yes.
You know, we just activate them automatically. It'll start working by itself because they're all imbibed. As a human being, it is there. You talk about special skills. You see, there are many people who might have never gone to school. That doesn't mean that they have never developed the skills. Isn't it? You look at a farmer. Nobody can be better in terms of spatial skill than a farmer. He knows exactly what should be the distance between one seedling to the other seedling, right? A driver who is driving, he might not have gone to school, but he is a perfect, he knows that where to apply the brake, what sort of, speed I should maintain in a particular place, what sort of jugglery I need to do to cut across a car or overtake a car. They are all in. So don't you think all these skills are working in them? Then only it is possible. They can't be like horse.
Right.
Right. It is only the fact is to instigate that particular thing that we can try in our school. That yes, I realize that I know about it. And if at home also, if that is done, then nothing can be better than that. And this is a small example which I told you, like preparing your own budget. You know, of your own house. Like, I'll tell you one very interesting incident. A parent of mine had come, the child is studying in 7th standard. He's very good. Technologically, he's very good. He makes, apps and all that. Right? Wonderful. Very good. And he's patented some of them also. So, now what he has done is, he went and told his mother. Mother was worried. She came and told me that both parents came to me and they are saying that he is saying, now I don't want to study. I will do this only. I will be a YouTuber and I will work on this. So then I called him and I asked him that, how much do you think the YouTuber is paying? I've been paid. He's saying 30,000. Yeah, I'm getting, easily I will get 30,000. I said, very good. I said, okay, you sit down. Today, his father was very much there. I said, today you go home and sit with your parents and make a list of what are the expenditures that your parents have only for you. Forget about others. Your food, your fees. You know, the things that you have to buy, all of that, you and your internet connection and all that, you make a list and see whether you will be able to manage in 30,000 for a month or not.
Yeah.
You know, that aspect of realization is also very, very important for us. And the parents went home and did the same and made him realize. You know, so that is very, very important for us. Making one realize that I have it and how it is going to help me. These are all tools. These skills are all tools for me. These are tools of life where I will be able to use them effectively. You know, some of them, for some of us, and the same tools we use, whereas some of us become master chefs and some of us become just ghar pe thoda bahut khana banana, chai banana.
Right.
But the same tools both of us use. So what I'm trying to say is, this aspect is very important, that at home also, if the parents can create a similar sort of an environment as far as skill sets are concerned, do activities very similar to that. Like for example, thinking skills. Like, you know, you will see a child of 2.5 years to, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10, he'll ask n number of questions. Why that, what that, how that, all that. Because his brain developments require all of this. You must be knowing, ma'am, like, you know, 2.5 to 7 years where the brain actually develops. Man is most intelligent at that point of time.
And most curious too.
Because of that, only curious. Because the wires have to connect, right?
Yeah.
So that is where the curiosity is there. Wires that fire together, they are wired together.
Yeah.
If they don't fire, they don't wire.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. So like that curiosity is because of that. A small child who is born, if you give him a ball, he will lick it, he'll taste it and see, he will break it and see, he will see that what is its shape, he will see whether it is hot or cold. What he's doing is experimenting on that.
Right.
What a scientist might be doing in his or her lab. So what I'm saying is, these are all inbuilt generally. Now what happens is, When suppose somebody is going, so a child says, "अच्छा ये कैसे बन गया? ये क्या हुआ?" To certain extent, the mother will answer. Then she'll say, "Keep quiet now. Don't disturb me. Keep quiet for 2 seconds." अंदर अपने I recently I'll tell you that we had been to a you know a restaurant for dinner, and there was the other side there was a family sitting, and there were two kids. One was an elder one. He was busy with his phone. The other one went on asking questions to the mother. Why this, why that, why color, why move, all that. And then his mother said, "Okay, now keep quiet and count up to 50. Just keep quiet and count. Oh, 50. Haan, ho gaya, 50 ho gaya. Again he started with why. Again his mother said, "Keep quiet and count." So what I'm saying is, this keep quiet business doesn't help.
Right.
You know, to take him forward. So that sense of inquisitiveness will only come when we sow a seed of inquisitiveness in them. So that seed has to be sown both in the school as well as in at home also. So that is why it's very important that we have a similar sort of an you know environment as far as skill sets development is concerned. It should happen in school as well as at home.
So there should be a collaborative approach between the school and the parents, so that there is continuation of learning of all these skills, which are already, which like you said, the child is already curious. You know, the school and especially the home, at home, the parents have to ensure that that curiosity is not suppressed, you know, that is further enhanced. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that, sir. And now coming to our last question, we have had a very insightful discussion. Coming to our end of the conversation, what advice you would give to the students?
Very important.
Yes, they are the stars of, you know, all our programs and approaches and conversations. So what are the takeaways for the student and your valuable advice for them?
Yes, as previously as we were discussing and I was sharing this with you, what my experience, what I'm seeing for the last 15-20 years, the students who are passing out from 10th standard or graduating for 10th from 10th or 12th, from 12th when they are going for the UG courses, I find the students confused more, you know, they are more product driven rather than process driven. You know, their love for learning is less, and they are studying just because so that they can get something out of that. And it's more like, you know, an undigested lump of information within them, and the appetite of learning almost dead. You know, the information that they might have had, you're saying something?
Yes, sir. I think while you are mentioning that, that is a very valid point. But I would also like you to throw some light on, do we educators and parents also have a role in, you know, bringing the focus of children away from learning and towards results? Right.
It's not only parents and teachers. It is the community at large which is doing this. Yeah. Why are they like that? Kids are not like that because they wanted to be like that. It's the community which has, it's the society which has made them like that.
Right.
Right. So I need to look at the content. Like, you know, if I have to study 37 chapters in social science, 25 chapters in science, like look at the quantum of content that I need to put in my, and then finally put it across to my pen and paper. Now, what do you expect me to do? I will just try to mug this up and just write it and forget about it. I can guarantee you, after the examination, after 15 days or 10 days of examination, you try and test those kids once again. I'm sure they will score 20-30% less than what they have scored in. It's all because of that. Because they are not studying for the love of learning. They're learning for the scores. And maximum of us have become, or almost all of us have become Marxvadis. Right? We are only worried about marks. That what is he going to score? What is he going to get in? So the child is also worried about the marks that he's scoring rather than the learning continuum that he's passing through. You know, so when the, until and unless we do not develop this love for learning, until and unless learning just becomes a process and it ends up at a product which is a marks, and that marks will lead you to somewhere else, until this chain doesn't break, I don't think we will be able to make a difference here. You know, right from the day one to day two, isko yaad kar lo, ye important hai exam mein. That exam-centric association, until unless that doesn't go, we will not be able to make this change. It'll not be right if I only blame the parents or the teachers, or it is the society at large. Right? If you look at the entire process, the entire thing has happened. It is but natural that we fall into this trap. You know, so that is very important. And those students, it's not that all of us have gone. Those students have actually loved their learning. They are the ones who have really done well in life. You know, and they are the ones who have actually, you know, taken it up. And as we say that lifelong learners, they are the ones who have actually become lifelong learners. And this part is very, very important for us somewhere. And that's what, you know, NEP 2020 is talking about. Break the silos. It's so important for us, right? Let us do it. Let learning come from all directions. Let us have a project, which NEP 2020 says that let us have a project, a Saturday project, which I can do keeping all the knowledge of all subjects, whatever subjects I've studied, whether it's English or maths or whatever, or science or social science. I bring in all of the knowledge, all of the skills, and create a project. That can be my Saturday project. So Monday to Friday, whatever I said. So there is nothing called a maths project or a science project, something like that. So we are talking about integration. So until and unless we do not bring in, we are talking about, you know, how do we bring in music into our classroom? How do we bring in sports into our classroom? You know, how do we bring in dance into our classroom? So art integration that NEP 2020 talks about. How do we experience what we are learning? Right. When we experience what we are learning, then only we will be able to apply.
Right.
And I should know what I am learning and why am I learning this. This question students have, but they somewhere as teachers, we are failing to, tell them. Like suppose if I say that a sixth standard or seventh standard student, when algebra is introduced, why we should study algebra? Don't you think the children should know the objective? When they know the objective, then it becomes easier for them to study.
Right.
Isn't it? So that is why I personally feel that this aspect is very important. So that is why, in fact, I personally feel it's very important that we tell our students, love your learning. Don't worry about your, you know, the marks that you are scoring. What is important? Be reflective in your learning. Okay. Yes, learning comes with struggle. You cannot learn without struggling. That is for sure. Okay. That struggle you have to do, but every pain is not bad. Some pains are also good. So this learning pain that you're going to have is for the good, right? Is for the good. So that is why it's important that you understand the learning will have its own ups and downs, but you have to be involved in it. So I would request all the students who are listening to me to be more involved, be present in the situation, be reflective as a learner. And the most important thing, enjoy learning without any fear of marks. Doesn't matter if you are just a 60% or a 50%, doesn't matter. But if you have understood your concepts, yes, you are not able to demonstrate it. You're not able to demonstrate it in writing, but you can demonstrate it in your expression. You can demonstrate it in your project. You are able to demonstrate it in maybe making a model out of it or in some other way, then stay happy. Doesn't matter, demonstration in writing gives you only 60%. I personally feel that. So I request all the students, most important, enjoy your learning. If you start enjoying your learning, then you will surely be a lifelong learner.
So that would be the best part of our conversation. And the students, I would urge all students to actually follow your advice. This is the best piece of advice. Enjoy your learning, be a lifelong learner, and success would follow.
Yes, of course. Success should not be something that, you know, you should follow.
Yes.
Let success follow you.
Yes, exactly.
Very true.
Thank you so much, sir, for sharing these wonderful insights with us today. The anecdotes you shared, the examples you shared, and your valuable suggestions for everybody, from teachers, educators, parents, and especially the students. They are really valuable and would benefit everybody. And I have a lot of takeaways from our discussions today, apart from what you recommended to the students. That is, of course, the star of the discussion. But other than that, the key takeaway is that problem solving skills is the mother of all skills. And it benefits not just an individual but the community at large. So thank you a lot. Thanks a lot, sir, for
Thank you so
sharing
much.
your
Thank
insights
you.
with us. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.